Our first reading comes from Genesis 25, verses 21 to 23, and our second reading will be from chapter 27, verses 1 to 35. It's a long reading, but it's a fascinating story of Jacob and Esau. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife, because she was childless. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. The Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." When Isaac was old, and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." "Here I am," he answered. Isaac said, "I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your equipment, your quiver and bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like and bring it to me to eat, so that I may give you my blessing before I die." Now Rebekah was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. When Esau left for the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, 'Bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat, so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die.' Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me two choice young goats, so I can prepare some tasty food for your father just the way he likes it. Then take it to your father to eat, so that he may give you his blessing before he dies." Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "But my brother Esau is a hairy man, while I have smooth skin. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him and would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing." His mother said to him, "My son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say. Go and get them for me." So he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and she prepared some tasty food, just the way his father liked it. Then Rebekah took the best clothes of Esau, her older son, which she had in the house, and put them on her younger son, Jacob. She also covered his hands and the smooth part of his neck with the goat skins. Then she handed to her son Jacob the tasty food and the bread she had made. He went in to his father and said, "My father." "Yes, my son," he answered. "Who is it?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game, so that you may give me your blessing." Isaac asked his son, "How did you find it so quickly, my son?" "The Lord your God gave me success," he replied. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you really are my son Esau or not." So Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So he proceeded to bless him. "Are you really my son Esau?" he asked. "I am," he replied. Then he said, "My son, bring me some of your game to eat, so that I may give you my blessing." Jacob brought it to him, and he ate, and he brought some wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come here, my son, and kiss me." So he went to him and kissed him. When Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you heaven's dew on and earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed." After Isaac finished blessing him, and Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence, his brother Esau came in from hunting. He too prepared some tasty food and brought it to his father. Then he said to him, "My father, please sit up and eat some of my game, so that you may give me your blessing." His father Isaac asked him, "Who are you?" "I am your son," he answered, "your firstborn Esau." Isaac trembled violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came, and I blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed." When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, me too, my father." But he said, "Your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing."
Thanks, Marie. And good morning, everyone. Intriguing story, isn't it? A lot of things happening. Suspense. And you wonder what's going to happen thereafter. Before we come to look at all that, allow me to pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for this morning. Thanks for the opportunity for us to sit under your word. Lord, help us to hear you through these words. Lord, I commit myself and each one of us, Lord, to the ministry of your Holy Spirit. We ask this, Father, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Please keep that reading open in front of you. If you come to our place for a meal, I can assure you that Faustine can make a great mess. When I say a mess, it's not just an ordinary mess. She can make a mango mess, right? I mean, this is not entirely clear, but so it involves meringue and mangoes, whipped cream, almonds, and passion fruit juice, if you like, or passion fruit seeds, if you like. You put the meringue at the bottom of the bowl, and then on top of that, you put a piece of mangoes. And then you add a few more pieces of meringue, and you put the whipped cream, and then you top it up with some toasted. What do you have? Almonds. Now it looks very messy, and when you start eating this, it could be even messy because you kind of try to get to the bottom to get that crunchy meringue, and then when it cracks, it just spills all over, right? So you could end up with a table with a lot of messiness. Now it's a simple but a great dessert with a bit of mess involved. Now, I'm not sure if you picked up from the reading today, we have a real mess in our hands, don't we? As one of the commentators mentioned, or he talked about in this story, there are no heroes. All are sinners, only sinners. Isaac, Rebekah, Esau, Jacob, they cheat, lie, manipulate, betray. There's evil scheming, family feuds, jealousy, anger. Everyone is affected by each other's sinful actions. And God seems to be absent. It is a mess, isn't it? It is a mess. So we wonder, what can we learn from this messy chapter? I want to look at this chapter under three headings. The nature of sin, the consequences of sin, and God's sovereignty over sin. So let's dive in. The nature of sin. As I mentioned, every character sins. How did Isaac sin? Now, he sins by disregarding God's will, right? The chapter starts, chapter 27, starts with Isaac wanting to bless his favorite son, Esau. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, right? Wanting to bless your firstborn son. The problem here is, if you were listening to the reading, the first reading, back in chapter 25, before the boys were even born, God made clear his will, didn't he? He said, there are two groups of people, but one will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger. Now, despite knowing the will of God, is Isaac determined to go against God's will, right? He wants to do what he sees best, what pleases him, what his heart's desire is. Do his will, not the will of God. Now, we could say the same thing of Esau, right? The older son. Now, it shows up in how he chooses his wives. Right? He marries whoever he wishes without any regard to who they are, regard to their family, or regard to their faith. And later we see he's bitter and angry and wants to kill his brother. You see, he cannot accept God's will. Now, if we pause and look around the world, we see evidences of this, don't we, scattered around. Same-sex marriage is accepted because people have disregarded God's will for marriage between a man and a woman. Divorce has become a norm because people have disregarded God's will for family. Unborn babies are aborted because people disregard God's will for the preciousness of life. People disregard God's will for creation by polluting and exploiting the creation. And if we kind of pause and inspect our own lives, won't we find instances that we have ignored God's will and done what pleases us? When we take up a job, when we choose a life partner, when we decide our studies, our careers, where to live, how to spend our money, aren't we tempted to disregard God's will and to choose to do our own will? We looked at Isaac. What about Rebekah and Jacob? They sinned by disregarding God's way, right? Earlier it was God's will, but here God's way. In verses 5 to 10, if you look at it, Rebekah hears what Isaac is planning to do. And then she comes with a counter plan to get the blessing to Jacob, her favorite son. And she kind of ropes in Jacob to this crafty plan, right? She prepares a tasty meal, a meal that her husband would love. to disguise Jacob. She dresses him with Esau's clothes, and then just imagine being covered with goat skin. She dresses Jacob like a 5-year-old before going to school. And verse 13, she's willing even to take the curse on behalf of Jacob. Right? And like Esau, like Isaac, Rebekah knew God's will was to bless Jacob. But what does he do? She chooses to do things her way. And Jacob, well, he was not just an innocent bystander, was he? Although he didn't plan it, he agrees to go along with his mother's crafty plan, and he's not worried or concerned about the act of deception. The only thing that he's worried about is that he might get caught. But he's greedy to get this blessing, steal his brother's blessing. And he goes to his blind father and he lies. "I'm Esau," he says. "I'm your firstborn." And he doesn't just lie once, but three times. And when he's asked, "How did you get this meat so fast?" what does he do? He even ropes in God to his crafty plan. Verse 20. You see, both Rebekah and Jacob wanted the blessing so much, they couldn't wait for God to do it. They put aside God's ways and do things their way. And as you can see, their ways were deceitful, heartless, immoral, unloving, ungodly. Now, if you are old enough, you may remember an old song. "I Did It My Way." Frank Sinatra. It's a very famous song. If you go to funerals, you often hear this. People want to leave this world, letting people know, "I lived my way." I can imagine when Jacob returns to his mother after receiving this blessing, there are high fives and high tens, and perhaps they sang a duet. "We did it! We did it! We totally ignored God's way and did it our way. Our way." How often are we guilty of this? When we rely on our way rather than God's way to provide for us, we might resort to overwork, workaholism. When we try to do things our way, we don't seek God and His kingdom. We seek our comforts and our kingdom first and give God the leftovers. When we take our own way rather than God's way, we lie, we cheat, we manipulate, we bribe to get things done. When we rely on our own way rather than God's way, we might look to non-Christians or non-Christian dating sites to find a spouse. When we rely on our own way rather than God's way, we might look at porn or adultery to fulfill our desires. When we rely on our way rather than God's way to resolve conflicts, we might get angry, gossip, become violent. And as a church, are we any immune? When we rely on our way rather than God's way, we might be tempted to grow the church using flashy methods or diluting the gospel. You see, you get the point, right? It is very tempting, isn't it, to follow our way rather than God's way. Now in this chapter we see the nature of sin. Disregarding God's will and disregarding God's way. But what do you think is at the heart of sin? What do you think is at the heart of sin? Why do we disregard God's way and God's will? Now, this is your opportunity to have a chat with the person next to you. Have a think about it. Why do we do that? What is at the heart of sin? Have a chat with the person next to you. Why do we disregard God's will and His way? All right, what do you think? What do you think? Any thoughts? Comments? Pride? Yep. What else? Impatience? We think we can do it better than God? Lack of trust. If you stay after the church, you'll get a price. Isn't it a lack of trust? That's why we are proud. That's why we think we can do better than God. We are impatient because we don't trust God. We refuse to submit to God's will. And we refuse to walk in His ways. Now, if you remember in the New Testament, when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by the devil, He was tempted three times. The devil comes and tells Jesus, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to be bread. If you are the Son of God, just jump from the top of the temple. God will protect you. If you want the riches of this world, bow down and worship me. Do you see, do you hear what the devil is suggesting Jesus to do? If you're hungry, do what you want. If you want to test God's promises, just jump off. Do it your way. If you want to rule the world, you don't have to wait till you go to a cross. No, just bow down, just right here and now. Do it your way. Do what you will. And aren't we thankful that Jesus chose not to do His will and follow His ways? Because even before the cross, we hear Jesus praying, right? If not my will, but yours be done. The nature of sin, and secondly, the consequences of sin. And this chapter is proof of what Proverbs chapter 12, verse 14 says, isn't it? There's a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. Each person does what it seems to be right for them in this chapter, and there are dreadful consequences. Isaac is trembling. He has to bury his head in shame. There's a deep distrust between Isaac and Rebecca. There's disappointment, anger, and jealousy. The brothers are divided. Esau holds a grudge and plots to kill Jacob. The family is broken apart. Jacob has to flee to save his life from Esau and Rebekah. You see what happens to her? She won't get to see her favorite son for the rest of her life. She doesn't get to see her grandchildren. Instead, she has to live with Esau and his pagan wives. And we are told that Esau's wives brought great grief to Isaac and Rebekah. different sin, promises great pleasure, but it always delivers misery, pain, disappointment, and destruction, right? So how do we avoid this? How do we avoid this briefly? What are some strategies we can put in place so that we won't disregard God's will and we won't disregard His ways? I guess do the basic things. Spend time in God's Word. How do we expect to get to know God and His way and His will if we are not spending time in God's Word? Do you have a daily habit of reading God's Word? How do we expect to hear from God if we are not in a daily habit of reading God's Word? So read, study your Bible, be part of a growth group. Spend time in prayer talking to God. Surround yourselves with mature Christian friends. Seek their advice. Ask them to pray. Give them permission to ask you questions. Identify sin and deal with them. Don't feed sin. Acknowledge, repent, and turn back to God, because if we don't, sin will destroy us and those around us. Finally, God's sovereignty over sin. Now, sitting among these four characters, Isaac, Rebekah, Esau, Jacob, and looking at all what they're doing, you kind of wonder, where is God? No one talks to Him. He doesn't seem to appear and stop these people from doing their own thing and mess things up. He seems to be absent. Or is He? If we take a step back and look at the big picture, and indeed if we look at the rest of Scripture, we see God of all the earth, God of heaven and earth, He sits majestically behind this story. And He is in full control. He had promised that Abraham and his descendants will be blessed, that they will be a blessing to the nations. He had promised that Jacob will succeed Isaac. You see, humans do their own thing, right? They even sin. But God never loses His plot. And we see from the rest of the story, Jacob succeeds Isaac. And Jacob has 12 sons. The people of Israel is formed. And out of one of those sons comes the greatest king in Israel, the King David. And in the line of King David, God brings out the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. And in Him, God now blesses the whole world, offering relationship and salvation through Him. Now, an Old Testament commentator by the name of Andrew Reed puts it this way. Scripture is adamant that humans are thoroughly sinful and rebellious. Scripture is also adamant that God works in and through such people in the world to accomplish His purposes. Somehow, God allows humans to do their own thing while at the same time working out His purposes. Just have a think through that. See, God's plans cannot be thwarted. God is sovereign. He is authoritative over all things, including our sinful and messy situations. The ultimate example of this is the cross of Christ, isn't it? Next chapter, chapter 2, verse 23, we are told that the death of Jesus was, God was in complete control, while humans carried out their evil plot to kill Jesus. God was in complete control while humans carried out their evil plot to kill Jesus. Well, when we look at today, friends, we had a terrible week, right? It's a mess. From a human point of view, that the world is kind of spiraling out of control, isn't it? It's a place where planes crash, humans butcher each other by the millions, natural disasters strike. The wealthy live in luxury while the poor scavenge for food and water. Again, to quote Andrew Reid, he says, from human perspective, the world is full of people like Isaac, Rebecca, Jacob, Esau, and you and me. But from God's perspective, God says He has created this world good, that He has good purposes for it, that He will make everything new, and He might even use sinful humans and their sinful wills to bring about His purposes. Perhaps this morning, you might be finding yourself in a mess. Could be your own personal mess. You're stuck in your own web of lies and sin and deceitfulness and wrong choices. Perhaps this morning, God is convicting you. Convicting you of your sins, the bad decisions that you made, calling you to confess, repent, and to turn back to God and find forgiveness in Him. Because He's the one who can forgive completely and who can purify us from all our unrighteousness. Perhaps the mess you are in is created by someone else. You might be a victim. And let me assure you this morning that God is not absent in our messes. He comes into our mess and sits with us. He grieves with us. He promises to be close to the brokenhearted. He promises to never leave us nor forsake us. He promises to be an advocate and to intercede for us. He's in control, isn't He? And as Paul says in Romans chapter 8, He will use every situation that we find ourselves in for His glory and for our good. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purposes. So trust in Him. Wait for Him. Keep walking in His ways. I'm going to give us a moment or two so we can come to God with our messes this morning and to find grace to help us in our times of need. Maybe you might want to take a moment to pray over what you heard, pray over what God is telling you this morning, and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. So let's take those couple of moments to do that. Let's do that in silence. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this morning, thankful for the opportunity for us to engage with your word. We are thankful for the work of your Holy Spirit. Thankful for speaking to each one of us. And Lord, for the messages that you conveyed to us. But you know the messes that we are in. You know sins that we've committed. And Father, there's nothing hidden from you. And we are so thankful, knowing all that, you don't abandon your loved ones. You are near to them. Thank you for your promises, Lord, to be close to your people. And so, Father, we pray. May you show us your grace, your love, your authority, your good purposes, even as we struggle through our messes. Even as we look around the world, when we are disheartened and discouraged, help us to know that you are in control, and Lord, that you will bring your good purposes out of the evil that happens around us. And may we continue to worship you and honor you. May we continue to share the message of the good news of Jesus to the world around us. We ask this, Father, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.